Hey yo, what's up world? This is DJ JS1 of the legendary Rocksteady Crew. Right now, you're listening to The Library with my man, Tim Einenkill. Strictly the real hip-hop. Peace.
I know names are moving the same. We're staying out the way. We get away with a lot. Yeah. My quiet thoughts.
The next guest is a true artist. He's a producer, a photographer, a video photographer, an MC. He's a solo artist and one-third of Dilated Peoples. He just released his newest album, Whether or Not He's Evidence, and I want to welcome him to The Library with Tim Monaco. Thanks for coming here, man.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. So, you're not just an MC, but you're a producer, as I said, a photographer and videographer. Can you talk about each of these passions and how they influence each other, but then what different forms of expression does each allow you to display that the other ones actually might not?
Yeah, so, well, the photography thing runs in the blood, I guess, because my mother was a photographer, and probably something she wanted me to do. I think I humored her and did like a little bit in a college class one time for a semester to learn it, and I kind of did learn a film camera, you know, and so once you learn a film camera, you know, you shoot, you can't look at it after you shoot, you got to learn to what to do, and if you don't know your aperture and your shutter speed and the film you put in, then you're going to get overexposed or underexposed shots, you know what I mean? And so the pain of going through that made me really learn it, so that didn't happen anymore. So how it kind of worked is music is my thing. That's what I love doing the most. I do come from a graffiti background, so you kind of figure all one plays into the other, because what's graffiti? It's a sketch. It's a fill-in. It's a highlight. You know, and so it's a rhyme. Same thing. It's an idea. It gets refined. It goes to the mic. What's a photo? Maybe something you take and then edit and crop and who knows? You know what I mean? So they all like are something that you do and then you fuck with a little bit. The photography thing was an accident in the fact that my mom passed and I just was kind of felt like, okay, maybe now is a good time to do a tribute type of thing, or maybe look into what she probably would have wanted me to be doing. And that's right when Instagram dropped and the iPhone 3 came out. And so, you know, I was just like, I'll take photos on Instagram and not tell people it's a rap thing. And if they ask me rap questions, I won't even answer, you know? Yeah, and yeah. So it'll just be like, this is an outlet for that. But keep in mind, there was probably only 1 million people on Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So I got real popular on in that app for doing these kind of photos that I like doing and not, and just being an anonymous guy. But then, you know, where the irony hit is when the app got bigger than Twitter and bigger right. than MySpace and bigger right, than right. all these things. And then I started running from it a little bit, like became trapped, you know, like, yeah. Oh, is this you? Is it not? What's going on? And some people going, you rap? You go, wow. You know what I mean? Like, no, I like your photos. So eventually it's all caught up to where now Instagram is kind of like, it's the regular social media. So it allows me to, you know, I can point the camera at myself now and I can, it's not about that. It's mostly what my camera sees, but yeah, I can incorporate my music into it now and I can kind of let everybody know who was following me for photos. Hey, I'm a musician, and I can also show my musician and friends that I'm not just like a limited to one form of art, you know? And so,
but when you're taking a photo, are you constantly, in a weird way, thinking as a lyricist in terms of like...
Well, I try to make photos. They told me the difference is that you make a painting, you make a beat, you know, you make a, you write a verse,
right.
And then you take a photo. What's that all about? You should be making a photo too. So it's not such a documentary thing. I try to make them art pieces. I try to make the photos, you know.
You talked about your Instagram feed, and I was looking at it, and a couple of photos that really stood out were the black and white palm trees.
Right, so can imagine I've taken a 2-year dip from music for like something that's really personal to me, but I'm not sharing why I'm dipping, and I'm putting up a photo of a palm tree. People are like, man, fuck your palm tree. Where's the music? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it gets, you become a hostage if you're not transparent in this era. So
for you, what's this kind of significance of the palm tree?
I mean, that's just symbolic of, that's like our skyline, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's Venice. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing that you wrote on your Instagram. One of the photos you wrote, a picture of palm screens, there's seagulls as well. It's black and white. And then all you wrote is home.
Right.
And I was like, that just says so much in terms of like, that's obviously your home.
Yeah,
so,
this is what.
But I'm from New York City. I'm like, we don't have palm trees here, but we don't have, we don't have seagulls. And we do have seagulls, but, you know, we don't appreciate them, I think, as much.
Right.
We don't think about home being a seagull when you think about New York City. I know. What's interesting about palm trees, and I want to talk about your album, but what's interesting about palm trees is that they're not native to Los Angeles.
Did you learn this from me, or did you learn this from somebody else?
I Googled it, okay. And I did learn it from someone else as right. well. But I wanted to, like, what if they're not native from...
And nobody's native to Los Angeles. It's like the palm trees are like mocking us. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. How much is
so
that?
So, there is a Mexican fan palm, which is native, and it will grow if you don't water it. The other ones are all South American. They're from Paraguay. They're from fucking Africa. They're from anywhere, mostly tropical. California is not tropical. We're fronting like we are. We're just a desert with a beach. So, we're like subtropical. So, they can exist there, but they don't flourish. So, this is fucked up. We're talking about palm trees. But it's real because I bought a house and I bought all these different palm trees and I planted them. So I learned about all of them. King palms, queen palms, triangle palms, fucking foxtail palms. I learned about them all. And yeah, none of them are native, so I watered the shit out of them.
Is that kind of like for you? I mean, I want to talk about, obviously I want to talk about your music, but is that...
I'll keep talking about palm trees.
Is that are palm trees an escape for you? It's kind of like whatever shit's going on.
I think
like,
so. When I went to Brazil, they were fucking amazing. It was like, wow, this is how palm trees are supposed to grow. This is what they look like in their environment. You know what I mean?
Evidence you did it with this one, man. Fire, woman. Got you. We have to take it back. A 1-2, all brand new would be the Black Jew. Niggas can't fuck with my view, how I maneuver through, licking off at your Subaru, and my bark turn spit bulls to school.
So I'm turning to your music, of course, I do. And I did tweet you asking about this, whether the Planet Asia, the medicine.
Oh, that was
first.
You.
That was me, yeah. You produced that back in 2006.
That was the first album I ever did. Yeah. First production album
you ever did. You've done much more since, obviously.
Not only recently.
Right. Okay, so recently. But you've also like...
I've done a lot of tracks for people over the years. But yeah, taking the album thing more serious is a recent goal.
And there's something that... You look back at the album, The Medicine. Is there a session, maybe a track, or even a conversation you might have had with... Planet Asia, where you would have now as a kind of a more experienced producer that you think you might have approached differently?
Maybe, but I don't regret any of that because I was always in the moment, so I wouldn't really want to. You know what I mean? I think that's the beauty of that record when we did it. And that, you know, let's be honest, that's a really fucking good rapper. So that was a good introduction for me to do an album because, you know, he could take my beats up a notch with the way he raps. You know, his flow is like the hi-hat, or it's very percussive, so... You know, he could move a track. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of beauty to that. But I think I did a good job in supplying him a big background. I mean, I think I haven't asked him, but I bet you he'd say the same thing because when he performs, he still performs a lot of those songs. Mm. So we must have done something right. Yeah.
You talk to a lot of people, and one thing they say is that you're, as an MC, as an artist, you're just kind of really inviting in terms of like we learn a lot about you, and you're open. And it's kind of, there's an appreciation of what you do. And you see it in your photography, but also I feel personally that you see it in your videos, where like there's something about your videos that I'm like, oh, he's taking us on an adventure. He's taking us on a journey of where he is, you know, with whether or not you have Throw It All The Way, Jim Dean, 10,000 Hours.
And I got three more ready.
And three more. So what is it, how do you approach the video that makes it kind of compelling to the viewer?
I can't understand how somebody can make a great product, like a great record, and come out the studio just feeling like we just did it, and they put it in their car, and they just like, wow, they get that redemption from the music that it gives when you do something right. And then do shit album cover and a shitty ass video. I'm like, what part of the fucking game is that? Because you gotta understand, what made me such a rap fan was UMTV Raps and was BET, and you know, Rap City was so important. And like, the first time I ever heard Special Ed, I got it made, I saw the video at the exact same time. I was seeing it and hearing it. So not only am I hearing this great song coming at my ears, but then I'm getting to see what he looks like, what his swag is, what he's wearing, where he's from. And it just brought me in. DOC, Funky Enough, that video did a lot to me. EPMD, So What You're Saying. Like, all these videos, I remember Boogie Down, My Philosophy, KRS-One, all these videos were like, they made you, they sold it, man. They sold it so tough. So for me, how you drop off at the audio was baffling. To me, that was never the goal. The goal was make something good enough to be a video.
Right.
You know, like if you can kill it, then this can become a visual. And you couldn't have a visual as easy back then, so you really had to strive to make something worth a visual. And I do think the Instagram thing in the last few years has really given me an edge, because I really understand composition now and lighting, and I can really enforce it, because to me now it's just pictures are moving. It's not like I'm not a motion picture. It's a real, I'm taking those words literally. So. Right. Yeah, it's just either snap it or you make it move. But the the approach is exact same. And so like Van Styles or Steven Venasco, he's going by his real name now. I met him on Instagram, and now he's like my favorite video guy, and he shot my album cover, and it's like the power of meeting like-minded people is way open right now, so it's a blessing.
Has that changed your Instagram and the way you approach videos? How has that changed your writing style or your lyrics?
Making videos?
Yeah, video. I mean, are you kind of creating a lyric to knowing that?
No, they're separate to me. I don't think about, I'm never thinking about the visual until it's time.
Okay.
Yeah, there's never, that becomes like, okay, what's the song going to be now? Let's think of the right thing to go to this. But it's definitely completely separate. I never have created a song with the intention of this is how I'll do it visually. It's always the next step.
There's something, I mean, you're saying where to be a complete artist, you not just the album, but the video, but then also there's the live show.
And that's the other part we're not talking about, yeah.
And I've never had the experience, and I do want the experience to see an Evidence live show.
Cool.
But everyone I've spoken to that has seen the Evidence live show is just blown away. And one thing they always say is they talk about this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but there's this illustration of a squirrel in the background.
Oh, yeah, my logo.
Why is there, we have squirrels in New York City, but why the squirrel?
I have a family of them in my backyard, and I feed them, and they depend on me, and I don't plan on letting them down. So, yeah, they become my friends.
Are they like kind of, is it, are they like a dog? I mean, is it just, are they?
No, they're wild, you know what I mean? But I have a house with a backyard, you know, and I grew all kind of palm trees and bamboo and everything, so I've created like this little ecosystem. You know what I mean? So, yeah. No, I just think they're funny, man. It's just basically I created the whole squirrel thing because Alchemist hates when I do it, and I just do it to piss him off, and it just kept going.
This is Whether or Not.
Yeah. The West, so start moving towards the exit when the next motherfucker lacking presence trying to set it.
Okay, of course I want to turn to your album, Whether or Not. It's a great album. It's the final chapter of the Weatherman series. How does it help to have kind of a central theme when you're writing an album or albums as an artist?
Yeah, it makes it easier to have something to go on to like put yourself in a place, maybe, you know what I mean? I'm putting myself in a dark world, I'm putting myself in a rainy situation, and then Venice Beach is not the sunny place everyone thinks it is. You know, you can be in Hollywood, it's a great day at the beach, let's go to Venice, and you get there and it's gloomy and marine layered out, you know? So yeah, it's a little different, but creating a character or like a superhero for yourself, Weatherman. It's fun just to begin with. It's adolescent.
Maximum return when I've been given. You now rocking with the West, so start moving towards the exit.
Are you writing everything? Like, you talk about Venice Beach a lot, but are you writing everything in Venice Beach to get that inspiration?
No, I didn't. I mean, I write most of my rhymes at home, but I don't write like other people do. Most, like Fashion and Mad Child and some of my friends, they have so many books of rhymes. Like, that's what they do. They wake up and write. It's just part of their thing. They're real writers. I don't do that. I don't have any books full. I don't even know where any of my old rhymes are. I don't start writing until the beat tells me. So, like, my lyrics are totally driven by the music, you know? So that'll make me have a different kind of flow than people. I don't write in my head and hear the cadence and all that. I just, when the beat comes on good enough that it's talking to me, I just start writing. And I don't really think about the mathematics, and I don't think about all the nerdy shit.
Right.
I just do what I do, you know? And if it lines up and it lands on the fucking snare, I won. That's it, you know?
I listen to music, and I listen to your album, and for me, it's like maybe like little words like kind of throw out, you know, like they stand out to me, and I don't know why. Maybe it's ADD and not lack of sleep because of two kids, but Throw It All Away, you mentioned Alchemist, you mentioned Eros Irons, and you mentioned Killer Mike. What's their importance to you as an artist?
Those three?
Yeah.
Alchemist is probably, is one of, if not my best friend, and if not one of my biggest inspirations. So it's a little weird with that sometimes, where I have to treat it a little delicate sometimes, in the sense that I have to remind myself who I'm hanging out with, not just my friend. You know what I mean? But I have to remind myself of his accomplishments and keep checking myself to let myself know this is not a light thing. This is a motherfucking something to be inspired by. So that happens. And so he's probably, Alchemist is my biggest inspiration across the board. Rocka is my big brother. You know, him and I don't talk all the time. We don't hang out all the time anymore, but the love is the deepest there, because especially when I was younger, you know, he really helped me navigate through some growing up, you know. So it's just like, yeah, he'll always just have a very special place. And Killer Mike, I don't know Killer Mike too well. I've met him a bunch of times, hung out with him a bunch of times. I would say to say that we're friends, you know what I mean? When Killer Mike sees me, it's the definite, genuine, authentic love. Authentic, I fuck with you, you're the fucking man type shit, which is obviously mutual because I respect him so much. So yeah, I don't think I want to get to know Killer Mike. I think I like it just where it is. I think that's just perfect right there. Yeah. I got my people and they got my back entirely. I kill with Ira science on the side of me. By myself, I lay him out and iron out the irony. What a long, winding road it's been, with no sign of slowing up around its turn. Love your fans and like your label. I'm not making shit for neither.
You lay that on the table.
Whether or not. I want to ask you about how have you developed in terms of, like, how has your purpose as music changed since you started out? And then what was it when you first started and how did it evolve to the place you are now? Because that lyric to me just kind of shows that you developed into this artist that is, like, what, you know.
Yeah, well, when you make your first album, you have no fans.
Right.
And so you got to remind yourself of that. That's what drew everyone to you, was what you wrote before you knew them.
Right.
So then to create for them is a fuck thing. I think that's why Sophomore Jinx happens.
Because,
you know, you make this album in your high school and writing it throughout your life, and then you bring it to everybody and they love you, and then you tour, and then you see that kid in the front row or that girl in the front row and how they reacted, and then when you start going back to create it, you think about them. What's going to make that girl, she liked this one, I should make another one like that. Or right. This kid jumped crazy when I did this one, we need another beat like that. And then right. You start getting out of the natural creation and you're emulating.
Right.
Yourself, which is the fucking worst thing to do. and then your label too, you know, is like, love your fans and like your label. The label, I've learned, it's been hard. It's been a very, very hard lesson for me. And this is one thing I think a lot of people should definitely, if there's anything out of the interview to take, is this, is business and personal should, at a point with a label, remain separate. You know, it's very easy to fall into bed with people who work at a label and become friends with them. I don't think it's the best idea. And a manager, too. You need to, can't give all your friendship to them. You need to draw a line somewhere and let them know that this is a working relationship. And when it does go past that, it can get really hurtful if it breaks up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or and it goes the wrong way. So, yeah, just, but you got to love your fans, though. That's right. One thing, you know. And so, yeah, like your label, like your manager. But keep it a business and keep it 100 with them on some, this is how we make money and this is our job. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying don't reward them or show them love. There's a time and place for everything. But the times that I became really good friends with my managers and at some point it didn't go right, it led to a lot of bitter things. And those people remain in the industry, so you don't want to see them constantly through the rest of your career and have roadblocks. You might as well just keep it peace. References to weather.
Love your fans and like your label. And I ain't making shit for neither. Lay that on the table. I'm making shit for me until the vision's done. And let the
rhythm. For me, there's a mood to the album. And you get to track 6, which is Moving Too Fast. And it's the shortest track on the album.
It's not, it's an interlude.
It's an interlude, yeah. And as a listener, for me, it kind of resets everything in terms of, like, what I'm hearing. What's the purpose of this track, but also why?
The sequencing of this album went through so much evolution. Man, you have no idea. It was all backwards. It was totally wrong the way it was. I finally figured it out at the end. I was looking in the wrong place for the sequence. Alchemist helped me sequence it. Twiz the Beat Pro helped me sequence it. My friend Federico Seasick Lopez, he helped me sequence it one time. Hip Hop, you know, my fucking legendary A&R, he helped me sequence it. And then I went with all their ideas and wrote around to it. It's not it. And so what I was doing wrong was is I had a lot of features and I was trying to separate them. That was my basis for the sequences. Keep guests things not happening back to back, not happening in chunks, you know, and spread them through. And it was the dumbest thing. And how I finally figured it out was is I have 4 tracks by Alchemist. I have 2 tracks by Nas. I have 2 tracks by Budgie. I have 3 tracks. So what I did, instead of just looking at who was on one, I just said, I'm going to put Throw It All Away and Powder Cocaine next to each other because those are both Alchemists. So that frequencies are going to be flushed through that. Then I'm going to try to put, you know, Love Is a Funny Thing and Sell Me This Pen together because those are both Alchemists. And that's going to cover that where it's all feeling flush. Then at the last two, I'm going to put the 2 tracks by Budgie back to back. So those are going to feel flush. So you got these like chunks of different production, almost like little mini segments of different producers throughout my album, their takes on it, verse sonically. So it really, it started to work, you know. So I had to actually listen to the music to get the right sequence, not visually see it, which was really difficult.
Speaking of you talk about features and with Runners featuring Defari, and even all the features on this album, it comes off as if you're kind of all the, you guys are all having a conversation together. You go like, you know, your verse, Defari's verse, is like, it seems like, is that purposeful?
That one, we're going back and forth a lot. We had this thing called Keep It On The Rise back in the day, part 2, where we went back and forth, and we had this thing called Don't Hate, and I produced his album, my first song called Acknowledgement. We're doing the back and forth, so we just kept it going. It's our 4th back and forth record. I think we're good at it because it is more conversational, you know, and we do it where I stop, and then wherever I stop, if it's an odd bar, an even bar, I say, that's it. And then he goes, okay, I pick up there. So everything gets written as the song moves along. It's not like we both write all your verses and then figure out how to put them together. It literally gets built. And so that's super fun to work with someone who's willing to do that. I do feel like that. I feel like there's no battles on this record. I think John Wayne technically rapped better than I did on To Make a Long Story Longer. I really do. But you can't deny my verse either, because I said some really, you know, I've been a lot of places when I stare at a map, but never been to therapy for me, that's rap. Like, I said some of my realest lines, so, and I think Love Is a Funny Thing is another good example. We're all focused on how love is a funny thing to us. It's not really about if I'm better than you or not. You could argue and say Rhapsody maybe bodied us, you know, but I don't know, because I feel like my verse is what made Styles P write. And Styles P's verse is what made Rhapsody right. And so it was, once again, we were building something. It should go up, you know, if everything was right. So, yeah, really honest collabs and things that happened at my studio. Most of the vocalists did them there. So there was a chance to actually build with that verse, you know, mailing it out.
Speaking of Love Is a Funny Thing, you answered how the track come together. You kind of answered how the track come together, but what was... You know, what was happening in your life that kind of inspired you to write this track?
Yeah, love this company, the money brings. Every year my circle's getting smaller, not Ben Baller. Everyone thinks I say not Ben Ballin, but no, not Ben Baller, my homie. But never had a thin wallet. I was money troubles. So my money troubles are a little different than other people in the sense that I bit off a lot I can't chew. A lot I can't chew sometimes, in the sense that I bought a property that was expensive and property tax and car and health insurance, and so like my broke is like making a lot of money is just enough to I'm not at eating yet,
right?
You know what I mean? And so like it's a different kind of thing. Like I do gross a substantial amount of money, but what I can net after the way my life is set up is a little tricky sometimes.
Okay. So
it's a different kind of struggle, you know. It's a different kind of struggle, and I can't get too far behind in my mortgage, otherwise I'm gonna lose this house, which is what I promised my mother I would do, which now I have a son and there's no fucking way this isn't going to be his, you know? So it's bigger than just like, every man thinks his problem is heaviest, basically. But this is mine, you know? That's all I know.
Whether or not is you get very personal, but you're very personal in a lot of your rhymes, and bad publicity, you say, towards a step of what I want to become, shed so much skin, the old Michael is done.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to become, but also who is the old Michael?
Well, they say every 10 years you shed so much skin, you literally become a new person. You know, that's actually something I've heard. So I thought that was, I'm feeling like that, you know, the end of the 30s happened, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, this is another cycle. We're shaking off, losing folks, relationships. You're not just the same person. People who want to argue with you over something you said 10 years ago. I'm like, I don't even
remember.
I don't even know who that was. Yeah. Man, I've come so far since then, you know? So it's hard to align yourself with sometimes with people who aren't growing, and it's frustrating. And so, yeah, maybe that's just like a kind of like a snide remark a little bit to some friends who I wish kind of moved along and didn't. And now we just such so much skin the old Michael's done, and everything I stood for is waging its war. You know, I can't, I miss the road when I'm at home and miss home on tour. It's like, yeah, it's just it's a lot of questions, but getting old is not for the fucking weak. That's all.
In Raindrops, I like, I mean, I'm going to ask you a lot about your lyrics. Cause,
no, it's cool.
In Raindrops, you spent another day to push because the night is long.
Yeah.
And went to writer's blocks just to write a song.
Yeah.
One, what do these lyrics mean to you? But also, your job, in a way, is to be a lyricist, right?
Yeah.
So what happens? How do you deal with, I imagine the biggest fear is having writer's block.
It sucks, man.
How do you deal with that?
I searched and searched and searched and searched. But here's the fucked up part. I didn't have writer's block, but I had the nothing is good enough thing going on.
Right, okay, yeah.
So that's the kind of writer's block, because you're not keeping anything.
Right.
You're crumbling up paper, so it's almost just as bad.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the things I crumbled up and thought was writer's block are on this album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you didn't officially throw them away or burn them?
Or maybe I saved it in an old session and came back. You know what I mean? Or something.
I'm acting like an old person. You know?
Yeah.
So you typed it on the typewriter, and then you just, like, crumbled it up and threw it away. Is that what you're saying to me?
So, yeah, that... a lot of questioning yourself, man, feeling like nothing is good enough. I think you have to come to this point, some point in your career, man. If it's just all good all the way through and everything you write is the shit, and I can't fuck with that. There's got to be a challenge and got to be a doubt and a bridge to overcome. You know, I watched interviews. I found the MF Doom interview talking about writer's block. I watched that. I watched Will.i.am talking about writer's block. I was Googling artists who have writer's block. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. I was trying to figure it out. They all said the same thing. You got to write through it. Write through it. Write through it. Write through it. Just get through it. Don't put your pen down. Just get through it. And MF Doom said the best. He said, you got to get through it, because when it does happen, if you're not ready, you're going to miss it. So it's showing me, you know, sometimes it... I'm not thinking of all of this shit, but it's not, I don't think it's given to me from a higher power either, but it's, how do you get it? You know what I mean? It's experience, it's life, it's trials, tribulations, it's resentment, it's love, it's anger, it's joy, it's all of that. And so how do you trap that into words sometimes is a tall order for anybody, you know?
How did you know you overcame it? I mean, you know, you're writing lyrics, you're writing lyrics that you feel are not good enough. But then how do you know when the lyric is, I guess, good enough? Or great?
When it comes down to... sometimes when it comes down to a deadline.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's...
The deadline might be it. You might... I talk to your old Drew on the phone sometimes, you know? He said... He was putting out his album Pax, you know? And I said, is this your best work? And he said, it's the best I could do right now.
And I was right.
I was like, what a great answer. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, yes, that's right. Exactly.
Everything is at the dope.
What's up?
With the dope rhyme that I kick. Everything is at the dope.
You've 10,000 hours on this track and this album, of course, produced by DJ Premier. This is not the first time you've spit over a Premier beat, but. From an outside perspective, you hear, think about Premier, you think about how this guy's a legend. Do you, as an artist, put extra pressure on yourself when kind of Premier's dropping a beat for you, or do you kind of approach it the same way?
I could tell you a secret.
The key to me having success on Premier's beats is not writing to them. Because that beat wasn't telling me to talk about some emo type of shit.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like if I write to his beats, I'm going to fall all the way into him. So I try to write just to a really happy beat or a fucking like a really easy piano scale or something that's just way simple and then spit it over that and then it becomes that contrast that I need. So for the you, I didn't write you to premieres. I've never told this to anybody, but I didn't write you, the song off Cats and Dogs, yeah, to that beat, and I didn't write 10,000 hours to this beat.
What's his response when?
Never told him. So don't tell him.
I'm not. Premier, don't listen to this, please. Thanks. You spit on 10,000 hours. I took my time to find my own shit. 10,000 hours. No bar type of loan shit, because I own it.
Because I'm going to own it.
I'm going to own it. Yeah. How would you right now define yourself as an MC and then...
Original. I'm definitely original. You cannot take that away from me. That's it. I mean, you can say anything else, but you can't say I'm fucking copying somebody.
Sure. And then how did you know when...
It took me a long time to get to this point because the first line was the most... I was guarded as an artist from the first day I started. I lowered my voice deep and tried to rap artists. I wasn't me all the way, you know? So once I found... I'm coming into myself... I consider less what other people, even my heroes, think of my music nowadays. So yeah, I'm becoming me. I'm just a late bloomer. It took me a little too long, but I'm here.
You talked about your fans earlier. How do you develop yourself as an artist, but ensure that you're keeping your fans, but also growing your fan base at the same time?
That's kind of fucked. How do you keep your fans and grow as an artist?
You mean, I guess you just have to be...
I mean, I'm not trapping, right? I'm not throwing them for like a complete... there's two kinds of artists. There's the ones who never do the same thing twice. You get your Andre 3000s. You get your people who are known for... You like this? Good. It ain't happening again. Yeah, enjoy it. You know what I mean? I'm going to be on some next shit. You're Outkast, that type of group. Or you get your artists who are like Supreme or like a shop that... You know what you go there for,
right,
and they do it good. So yeah, it's. I've been more like the latter of the two. I think I built something that people like, and they know they can go there for it more than I'm going to keep them guessing. And I've become an artist you can trust, but that's not always good. Sometimes it's better to be an artist you can't trust. You know what I mean? So, with that said, I do think I've shown growth.
Right.
All four records are weather themed, but I don't think I've repeated the audio.
Right. Right. So. There's something to do the last track of the album, By My Side Too.
Yeah.
I think for me it's an amazing track, but it's also obviously a very personal track because you talk about your son, you talk about your girlfriend, and I have two kids, so I can imagine, you know, the conversation you have with your son and also your girlfriend. But it's talking about your girlfriend's battle with cancer. When you're writing to a track like this that is so personal, how does it help you in your personal life to kind of understand or maybe come to grips in a way of what's happening in your personal life and then why share it with the public or the audience?
So first and foremost, the title. So it's important for people to know there's a song called By My Side, which is the same beat, which is on Alchemist and Budgie's gospel album called The Good Book.
Right.
And I have a completely different rhyme. It's not anything deep over that beat. But I really loved the beat. Always did. You know? And so I was going through my instrumentals in my iTunes, and then the instrumental to that popped back up. And I started hearing that voice, that singing over and over. And it was just really, you know, probably had just came back from a chemo session or something like that, which we were doing, or radiation or whatever it was. And I just started documenting what I've been seeing. It was so easy. My lady losing her hair, you know, and I go to sit with her. And then I imagine how I was over. Somebody was over. I said, yo, I just wrote this line. It fucked me up. And I said, and I told him what it was. I didn't play the recording. And he went, don't do that, man. Fuck it. I don't want to hear that. You know, and then I was like, you're right. So I put it away for a while. And then I kept adding lines to it. I just kept adding lines because it was like helping me talk it out almost, you know. And then start crying crazy hard while I was rapping it, you know, like really bad. And you do that, like,
yeah,
you know, you can't even talk, it's like you're like freezing almost. Your teeth are chattering almost. You know what I mean? And I was just like, okay. So I'm feeling it. This is where music is really working. Like it's, and music is like bringing out some crazy shit. And I played her before I talked out the end and put my son in it. I played her the rap, and it was really emotional. And I just said, I'll put it away, and I just wanted to share that. And then she was like, I would really like it if you shared that with everybody. So I was like, really? You sure? And she said, yeah, I'm serious, and I really like that. So I did it. And then I had produced Last Call with Kanye West on College Dropout, which was a big moment for me in my career, you know. And I'll never forget, he just talked the end of the whole song out for like 6 minutes. He just, it was the end of his album. And he just stopped rhyming and just told his whole life story. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking him why, and he was like, because ain't nothing going to rhyme. I can't tell this in rhyming. You know what I mean? Yeah. How am I going to rhyme this? I'm just going to tell it. So I thought, you know what? I am the producer of that song. For me to bite that is not really a bite, since I was legit involved with that. Right. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to talk it out and explain what happened. And then I really wanted to put a really positive twist on it. You know what I mean? I really like We Alive, Survive, Son's Voice, Happy, Mommy, Daddy, Squirrel, Let's Go. You know what I mean? And, you know, he even dropped the mic. You can hear it. Boom. You know, I kept it in there because I was like, this is all just really happening. You know what I mean? So, but the song is fucking with me a little bit because we're dealing with it again right now. You know, okay. So I made that in it's fucking with me a little bit. Did I make it too soon? You know, because he was in 2 years of remission, you know, and it's like, did we celebrate too early? And I'm having a lot of little doubts. I mean, wonders of if I didn't make it, you know, just dumb shit I shouldn't be. Yeah. It's not that true, but it, you know, you just question a lot. So, yeah, I wish I was celebrating it a little bit different than where it is right now, but I just hope that it ends right, and then the song really means what it means again. So,
My lady losing her hair. I go to sit with her to sit in that uncomfortable chair.
Got it.
Holding her hand right beside me. They bring the chemo out and hook into the IV. The doctor like a dealer, way pumping them drugs. Hard to watch shit like this. I give a fuck if you thug. I give a fuck if you seen it all. You ain't seen this.
When the mother of your firstborn son. Can imagine.
Yeah.
Not at all. For you, I don't know how to transition. For you,
talk about rap again. It's not going to work, you know.
A couple more questions. Yeah, yeah. I know you're. For you, what out of the whole series, but also on this album, what track kind of best represents the mission of this album? And then, if you look at the series, what track kind of represents the mission of the series?
Title track is probably, it represents the album really well. One of my favorite Babu beats probably I've ever got from him. And, yeah, I think I said it. I think just the soundscape of that just it's probably my favorite mix on the album, the biggest sonic scape. So I would say the title track, as it should. You know what I mean? Like, that's always good to nail it on the title track. What was it? Two parts. What was the other part?
What track kind of represents the series to you?
The series would be best described on this album. Yeah, Throw It All Away.
Mm.
The rainy video, the imagery that came with it, the Alchemist beat. The Alchemist is the constant throughout everything, you know.
Your favorite lyric that you've kind of like, you've written, and you're like, holy shit, I wrote that. You know, I wrote that.
There's a couple good ones. Yeah, I'm pretty. So a lot of the lyrics are really like stuffed in. I moved out of punchlines, you know. So I'm packing the punchlines in the middle sometimes, or in the places that aren't obvious, so things slip by people, you know. But you know, 91 Dub C, don't work, you don't eat. I mean, that's 91 was the year WC and the Mad Circle dropped their album, and my favorite song off that album was called "Don't Work, You Don't Eat." Right? So it's nice. Like, I mean, there's just so much coded in there that people might not even right. get. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's
so
awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many things like that.
I have a weird question.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, your name is Evidence.
Yeah.
And through one thing that throughout your career that I've noticed is that you always play on your name a lot in your you not always but you play on your name a lot in your rhymes, and also your features do it as well.
Yeah, because it's fun to rhyme evidence with presidents.
Right. So what is, I mean, when you, what does that do to you as an artist? I mean, when you hear that, are you like, ah? It's,
no, I like it because it means like, you know, if Dre was doing an album, you'd talk about Dre.
Yeah.
Shows me that they fuck with me.
Right, nice. That's awesome. So this is my last question, I promise.
No, it's good.
You talked about doing graph earlier.
Yeah.
Another thing I appreciate about you is that you are part of hip hop culture. You're not just being a rapper to be a rapper. Let's say if you look at the commercial representation of hip hop, it's the lyricist or the MC. But if you, as someone who appreciates, I think, each element of the culture, had an opportunity to like, I want this element to be the commercial representation of hip hop, what would you choose and why would you choose it?
I really want to be known for being a double or triple threat, you know, Havoc from Mobb Deep, LP, RZA, Kanye West. That's where I want to fall in line with them. I could make a beat, I could write a rap. You need me to tag your fucking art, I could do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. My dancing is limited, but I'll do a freeze, like a ill b-boy pose for you or something. You know what I mean? You know, so yeah, just want to be known as just, you could do that shit, you know? You could jump on stage, whatever.
He's evidence, new album, Whether or Not. It's been a great honor to have you in the library.
That was good. Thanks. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Who's on first? It's my dog. It's his tail. It's the chase. It's the search. It's the ignorance that causes all the bliss in my surroundings. Because dealing with realities like drawing out your boundaries. And I refuse to be referred as less than a creative. So catch me when I'm live in town as I've been demonstrating. So that I can find my greatness in the waking of my absence. And absolutely kill it when they're dealing out these bad hands. Player play is what a player's dealt. He carries baggage like conveyor belts and never fucking saves his wealth. I got some money, I'ma blow it all today. They say, Michael, don't throw it all away. And my reply was, there's more on the way. When I said it, I was walking in the rain. I write to alchemists cause others don't inspire me. I got my people and they got my back entirely. I kill with our science on the side of me. By myself, I lay him out and iron out the irony. What a long, winding road it's been, with no sign of slowing up around its turns and bends. How many have friends that ain't foes within? Dirty laundry in the wash, but them clothes don't spin. I mean, really, I kill two birds with one bullet. The target's when I line it up, the trigger's when I pull it out the gate. A bit late, but the champ is back. I need a third hand to wear my rings and hold plaques. I hit the track like the runner's new. Hands high like a stick-up, killer Michael running jewels. It's true, the eyes slanted, my fam rock the planet. Don't take fans for granted like the money is due. I got some money, I'ma blow it all today. They say, Michael, don't throw it all away. And my reply was, there's more on the way. When I said it, I was walking in the rain. Got some money, I'ma blow it all today. They say, Michael, don't throw it all away. And my reply was, there's more on the way. When I said it, I was walking in the rain.